This is professional radio, gentlemen.
And it's front wheel drive.
Scotty, have you got anyone you want to thank?
Just myself.
And now we do the after hours.
Gentlemen, what would you go for?
Thanks to your sin, dude.
Okay, and because it's not a supercar.
But it is.
It's not.
Automotive perfection comes in the form of two letters, A and U.
Long live my LTD.
Welcome to Car Talk. It's Tuesday night here on 98.9 Northwest FM. It's me, Matty J, online with Mr. David Prince, Mr. Scotty Doe Johnson, Mr. Rob Zadai, who's just joining us now when his interwebs decides to work, and new guests, first time on the show, Chadosh. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you going?
Good, buddy. Good, good. Welcome to the show. Welcome to us talking crap for the next hour and a bit.
Yeah, thanks for having me. long-time listener, and good to meet the boys.
You're going to be one of those guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yeah, pretty much.
good to have you on board, mate. How are you boys going? David, Rob, and Scotty, what's happening in your world? What's happening with you guys? Hopefully you're doing all well.
Yeah, pretty good. Thank you, my friend.
Yep, doing well. Still soldiering on, so that's good.
Doing well. Should be doing more, but doing well.
Should be doing more.
just looking at the projects, you know, even getting that P76 out of the garage, Matty.
Mate, 15th of January is when it's happening. I'm going to be there. We're pulling it out. Like, I don't care. It's happening. That day it's happening.
Is that National P76 Day from memory, is it?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, we'll make it P76 Day.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys have heard the latest there, but basically when it was just you and I, Rob, having a discussion, we stepped back in time into the wonderful world of the 80s and 90s where Rob was in his P76, taking it to work as a daily driver, and we're getting it back on the road. And you've done all the projects pretty much at this point. They're all kind of at a spot where you're getting them painted or XYZ. And now it's time to bring the P76 to its long time slumber and bring it back to life. It's going to happen, mate.
We'll do it.
So very, very good.
You're speechless in anticipation.
I am.
I think he's more speechless in horror of the amount of work he's about to do. I think that's the bigger worry for him. But let's get straight into it, dudes. Let's start with David. Car updates with you, mate. What's happening with your latest cars?
Oh, I've been racking my brain actually trying to think of anything exciting to say, and there's not a lot this week. It's been busy in the lead up to Christmas. got an international visitor in the family in my lovely daughter who's come out for a week for a family celebration, which is fabulous. And Sean, if you're listening, by the time you hear this, she'll probably be back. So, but she's having a great time and we're looking after her very well for you, mate. Had the spent the weekend driving the N1. We had our annual car club Christmas get together, so that was a bit of a drive. So that was good fun. I'm patiently watching the city counting down in the last hour and a bit at an auction at Grays. So that's gone out there to thin the fleet a little bit.
Is it doing well, or are we a bit disappointed so far?
No. It's sitting at about 3-3 at the moment. So if anyone wants, I was going to say anyone can bid on it, but of course it won't be much good in a week, so I will it.
To our live audience.
Yeah. No, but all in the interest of...
we can put some sneaky bids in there for you.
Yeah.
Just clearing the decks, because only when you clear the decks can you actually have space for something else.
FL5 type bar. Sorry, I just had a bit of a...
Sorry. And the other thing I'm actually, that Mr. Wrigglesworth person that's been on the podcast before, he's got a bit to answer for, because he's actually got me all checking out Magna Wagons on, there's a hole in the Magna Wagon Appreciation Society in that there's not many TRTSs out on the road. And I had one new in 93. Andrew's brought it all flooding back, and so there's a bit of a hole in the collection of Magna enthusiasts in the country in TR and TS wagons. There's going to be a lovely one out there somewhere. There's some fairly average ones sitting in wreckers that seem to pop up on Facebook Marketplace all the time, but nice ones are harder to find, but there'll be one out there, so we'll keep our eyes open for one of those.
I know where one is, but I asked him for it, and he's like, oh, I'm not ready to sell it just yet. So,
no, okay, that's all right. That's all right. I'm not in any great hurry.
We'll wear him down. Yeah. We'll have to.
I think when you're in a hurry, I think that's when you can make decisions that probably aren't best long-term decisions. You've just got to tread water sometimes and just wait till the right combination comes up. I actually got to work on one of Andrew's cars last week. That was pretty exciting. One of the beautiful TP Magna Elite wagon of his.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. You posted that one up.
Yeah. So that was one of those jobs that I'd had a look at before, and I thought to do it properly, I need to pull this seat apart. So he had a spare seat at home, and I said, well, tell you what, I don't want to put this car apart. I said, you have a go pulling the seat apart at home, and then we know we can bring the bits. So so I went out and he couldn't pull the seat apart because the clips that hold the backing on are pretty brittle, so they're a bit concerned about that. So we actually had a close look at it the other day, and I worked out a way to fix it. So without taking them apart, so it was a win-win. Hmm. He was very happy. I was very happy. He made me a good cup of coffee, and that was good. Sailed off into the sunset.
Well, off to save the day again with another person's car, David.
I'm like the automotive cavalry, aren't I, Maddie? That's what
you were the automotive Batman, and
automotive Batman. Actually, I like that. I like that on the next man.
I'll do my best, David, for you. I'll do my best.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate it. But I think that's me for updates. I'm not a lot this week, but I'll get back to you if I can come back with anything else.
Very good. Scotty?
I think mine's even less on what I've done this week. Busy weekend, so I wasn't able to do too much. I did end up buying some new rear pads and discs for the 31, so hopefully they arrive soonish. They're not coming from too far away. So I might get them by the end of the week or early next week.
Mm-hmm.
I was just having a look how easy they are to install. The pistons are a little bit different. They're screw type, so you've got to twist them to wind them back as opposed to just pushing them. So I think you need a tool or something that you can buy, special tool cube thingy you can get to wind it in. But most places have that, so I'll just find one of those and should be done in no time. And that is it. Nothing else I need to do for that car.
And that should be on the road.
Yep, get it on the road.
I went on the road bad. I've been having dreams.
Got to that point, I think. Rob, what's happening with you, man?
Well, I've just been buying myself eBay or online presents for my van. You know, received a ceiling fan and a shower kit and bits and pieces and nutsert kits to put all the nutserts through the roof so I can screw up the roof liner and things like that. So just been ordering all bits and pieces. So, yeah, it's a bit of fun getting the goodies delivered to your doorstep.
Mm. Like Christmas every day, isn't it?
It is. It's good. Yeah, it's like Christmas every day. And it's leading towards Christmas, so I backed off on my orders because they'll be delayed. So I'll wait until after Christmas now.
So make sure his ones get put in first.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Word to Chad, Willie's.
That's right, post. You know, any packages going to Rob's die? We'll sort it out, mate.
He goes to St Albans Depot there. I know a couple of posties that still that used to go to school from St Albans.
Oh, yeah, nice.
So I used to look after Australia Post, believe it or not, many years ago. And so I used to go out to all the depots and do all the inspections out in South Melbourne and else I used to go. A whole lot of places.
Used to do there, sorry?
In South Melbourne, and there used to be a depot there. The big, whatever you want to call it, not the depot, the
sorting centre.
Sorting centre, yeah. And the one in West Sunshine.
Yeah.
So what did you do there? Did you do fire prepping to make sure no LTDs came through? Or
That's correct, yeah. So nothing caught a light to make sure the fire extinguishers are all delivered. we sort of looked after some of the maintenance and cleaning and that for Australia Post. And Melbourne Airport also had their parcel delivery or whatever you want to call it, their centre in Melbourne Airport. So a couple of guys who still know from Australia Post there. But apart from that, what else do I do? I think my son, he's gone out and bought himself this thing called a Ranger Rock.
He bought an Amarok.
Yeah. Yeah, so you'll probably pick that up next week just before Christmas, a nice little Christmas present. So that's going to be, believe it or not, his daily.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
It's only a four-cylinder, bottom of the range, like base model. But the base model comes with a whole lot of features. It's amazing compared to a stock Ford and what you get. It comes with all the lane keep assist and all that sort of stuff. Adaptive cruise control and alloy wheels and bits and pieces like that. But it still has a vinyl floor, believe it or not, which is probably a good thing.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a real work
one, yeah.
Yeah, it's
a Yeah, a real work sort of car. So, but for what it is, you got 5 years free servicing with it. What else was there? Guaranteed buyback, stuff like that, all sorts of things. So, I think they've got a lot of them they're trying to get rid of and they can't.
Yeah.
But that should be an all right car. They look a bit more classier than a Ranger does. A Ranger looks, it's in your face, whereas the Amarok's a bit more styled.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes and see how it drives.
I'll be keeping an eye out if he's one of those guys that tailgate me on the ring road and I'll know. So
mate, it's not a Ranger, it's an Amarok.
Same car.
Yeah.
It's an adaptive cruise control. He'll have the adaptive set. It'll keep its distance.
Oh, very good, mate. We'll tell him congratulations and that's
congratulations, Harley.
Goodbye.
Yeah, it's goodbye. And then you keeping the 663, Harley, or are you getting rid of it, mate?
I'm keeping it.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. That's a good decision.
He's got a big boy's job now. He's actually still at work at home. He's working away.
Yeah. Site manager Harley can officially be a site manager with that car now. So
that's right. Exactly. So yeah. I think a lot of the boys where he works are all got their utes and whatnot. Some of them got Ranger Raptors and whatnot. I think it's sort of hard to sort of like he was looking for a car for a while and he was looking at a small SUV and yeah, he's still just starting to fork out high 30s, 40s for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. It'd be good for me anyway. At least I can pitch his car when I want to go away and things like
that's
that.
The idea.
Do swaps with the transit and he can take the transit camp and I can take his Amarok.
I don't think he'd be taking the transit anywhere, Rob.
Why?
You won't be able to park it.
I go to Water Garden Shopping Centre. I went there today in the shop, so I find a spot where there's a garden bed and you overhang it into the garden bed. And it's the same length as a normal car park then because the wheelbase is... standard length it would be your whatever 4 meters
extended
is it extended top or extended cab? But
it's just the overhang that extra meter at the back, so it's amazing where you can park them, and the turning circle is real good because the wheelbase is relatively short.
Yeah
so it's not too bad.
Oh, very good.
Got some spoilers for the Ford Laser. So I've got the front spoiler delivered. So that we're going to be doing a bit of sanding and prep work to get all that sanded and painted and put back together again.
Mm-hmm.
So the son-in-law's going to have his laser all hotted up and it's going to look a bit like your SR, but not an SR.
the paint will probably be still better than mine. The paint is completely hotted. But anyway, that's another story. I'll have to get Rob Fabrications to paint.
Nah.
it'll probably catch fire knowing you.
You've got enough experience now, Maddie, to do it yourself.
I do. Yes, I will. I'll have to take the rails off and everything, but that'll happen eventually.
Oh, geez, that's a big job. Don't do that.
No.
Work around it.
Work around it.
Around it. Tape it off, paint around it. Do not, I was watching a Drive Tribe and there's this guy doing up the Jag, mm-hmm. and the plastic molds along the doors were so brittle and you couldn't get them anymore. So they actually just sanded it in situ and painted over the door molds and everything at the same time rather than trying to take them off.
Yeah.
Because of that brittle. Mm-hmm. So you might need to do the same thing with the roof rails.
I'm too afraid to take anything off it. It was break, but anyway, that's a
will.
That's it. Will it will exactly right. It will.
That's Fortnite the plastic.
Yeah. Anyway, that's current updates, gentlemen. Now, Josh, you're
hang on. We haven't heard any from you, and we haven't had chats. Come on.
Oh well, you know, I'm trying to introduce our guest, David Prince, but. All right, well, I'll quickly fill you in with me. Typhoon, I pick up tomorrow. It's getting the ball joints, standard Falcon things, front ball joints done, and upper control arm bushes done. So I'm just poly bushing it, so it'll never happen again, and it'll be all good. So that will get picked up. Well, it's going to be done today, but they just needed an extra day. So I picked that up tomorrow. Also picked up tomorrow is Mum's car from... getting the ceramic coating and the PPF on the front end. So she's we've sent a sneaky photo what they've posted on their story and looks good. So that'll be picked up tomorrow. Hopefully it doesn't rain because it'd be nice to drive it out and enjoy it when it's all nicely polished in there. And then they've put some suede protection on the steering wheel and a few other bits and pieces for us. So that'll be good. But Mum and I put about 300 Ks on it on the weekend. We drove it down to our favorite roads, which you guys know about. And obviously, I wasn't pushing it hard, just putting it through the corners. And it's very wide. I didn't realize how wide it was until you get to some real narrow streets. Yeah. And I was like, okay. Then I proceeded to almost have a head on with the BMW Club of Australia. They were like E46 is going hard around these corners. I'm just like, oh god, I'm gonna die today. But no, it was good. It was really, really good. Mum wasn't as terrified as I thought she'd be, so that was all right. But that's pretty much it on my end. Now
you did let her drive, didn't you too?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's her car. I'm like, can you drive? She's like, no, I want to be driven there, and then you don't experience something. I'm like, okay, well, that's
okay.
I mean, you're really twisting my arm right now to drive a Civic so far. So, but yeah, she's absolutely wrapped with it. So, she's like, oh, they've had my baby for 3 days now. I want to get it back. I'm like, Mom, it'll be back. And she's like, I just want to drive it. So she's really, really excited with it. But yeah, that's my updates. Now, Chadosh, you're obviously new to the show, long time listener, first time caller, as they would say. Let's discuss about you and your cars, because for those playing at home, this guy is a massive car guy. In terms of an eclectic mix of vehicles which you own,
yeah, you can say that.
You like the weird and wonderful, but you also like the standard AU Falcon, which is God's chariot, as some would say. It is for Australia.
We're lucky to be, you know, blessed with it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The car gods were kind.
Yeah,
yeah, they were very kind. Yeah, there you go, Edward Bunting. There's your AU mention of the show, because he's like, they always mention the AU on the show. there it is. I've managed to plug it in there.
Shout out.
But where did you get into cars? And basically, what was your first few cars, and what have you got now? So, like, how did you become the big car guy that you are today?
I have to say it started in high school. So, mm-hmm. When the international car show was in Melbourne, we'd round up a few people at school and go together and, you know, just enjoy the new stuff that was on display. You know, there's a lot of nerdy photos of me that I've, you know, I've found recently. Someone's taken a photo of me in the driver's seat of like a brand new NC MX-5 or like a, you know, C200 compressor, like just, you know, just real nerdy stuff.
That's the best stuff.
I'm dressed terribly as well because it's high school, obviously. So I feel like that's where it started, and then it kind of moved into auto salon from there. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get the appreciation for the cars, and then you go, oh, people are doing stuff to them, you know, they're not just, you know, driving them or whatever. But yeah, so I had a couple of friends in high school who are actually like a grade above me. They already had their P plates, and one of them had a VL turbo, obviously. Yeah. You know,
as you do
in those days, they were probably like 2.5 grand, you know. But So yeah, we went to Auto Salon a few years in a row, and just really sort of, I guess, grew from there. And as soon as sort of I was ready to get my P's, I was just trying to find what I could so to just be have freedom and drive. My very first car that I bought was an N14 Pulsar, base model, automatic, 1.6 liter. It was an absolute it had 300,000 k's on it, and I paid way too much for it back in those days even. And I drove it home the first day, and it was just pissing oil everywhere. Like it was maybe the worst introduction to car ownership. Like, literally the first day I picked it up, I was like, great, all right, this is going well.
But that should be your first car, though.
I feel like
Your first car shouldn't be great. Like, I see at work all the time, being a high school teacher, I see kids rock up in brand new cars. And look, I get it, the parents buy it because they're safe and everything like that. But to do it properly, you gotta not be able to afford anything. So my first car was a $500 Laser, and yours was a M14 Pulsar. So I respect that. And
yeah.
I think Scotty and I've had this discussion before. Like, Scotty, if you had your piece again, you'd probably go a Triple S Pulsar or something, like something cheap back in the day.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah.
Yep, so, definitely.
Even a 2 liter Q at the very least, come on.
2 liter Q, yeah.
I think back then I could have picked up just an S13 or something.
Yeah, that would have been... I mean, that would have been the time for that, definitely. Yeah.
We'll get to S13s in a minute, and I'll tell you why. But so this N14 1.6 oil leaking heap.
Yeah.
How long did you have that for?
I reckon it lasted less than 3 months. Like, I bought it, and I was just, the first thing I did to it was put a sound system on. Right, I had this 15-inch sub that I got from somewhere I can't remember, and I chucked it in over on a Friday night with a mate, and just enjoyed that for a few months until I just couldn't stand it anymore. I hated the car. Like, it was such a piece. And I sold it to some dude, I don't know, some kid, some young kid like me at the time, who was white and were looking for a first car.
You were like,
and I was like, man,
to you what's been done to me.
Yeah. This is the way. This is the generational trauma that you have to also, take on. So
passing on the baton.
Exactly. So I got rid of that, and then I should mention at the time, I didn't have a manual license, and I couldn't drive manual. Mm-hmm. I couldn't really drive manual at the time, just because I never learned it, all my learners.
Yeah.
Anyway, I proceeded to go and buy a Nissan Exa.
Oh, cool.
An N13 Exa.
Yeah, cool.
Manual, it was the GP model, so it had the white, all white, with the white wheels and all that. It was great. I loved that car. And, I could barely drive it. I barely drove it back home. I reckon I, stalled it maybe 6-7 times between Brunswick and North Melbourne. And, there would have had to be tens of people beeping me at them that day.
But that's the one way to learn. Just get put in the deep end and be like, I have to drive.
No, that's right. I have to get this car home. So got it home eventually. And, I really enjoyed that car for about 8 months or so. And then I was a broke uni student, unfortunately, very, very small income. And, I think the fuel pump just died. Couldn't get the car started, and I just thought the worst of it, and I thought, I'm going to get rid of this. This is just going to be a hot potato in my hands, and that's it. I palmed it off. I sold it to some guy, some young kid again.
Passing the torch again.
I told him what was up with it, and I even got it towed for him, because I used my... Do you remember... Free to go.
Yeah.
So I won free tow for the year or whatever it was, and I got the car towed, saying that it was my mechanic's house, that's how you get away with it.
Rocks up at some house in the suburbs. It's my mechanic.
And I'm like, well, you're already here, so just leave it there. So I got rid of that, and, it's one of the cars I regret getting rid of. I wish I, it borrowed some money or did something to, get the car fixed. But anyway, we'll get another one day. From there, I jumped into a 92 Accord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was...
It's a bit of David.
Yeah, a bit of David. That was my first, introduction to Hondas. Yeah, so Accord, it was the most boring color, silver, mm-hmm. like very boring, but it had a lot of cool features. It was a 5-speed manual, 4-wheel steer, sunroof, leather. Like it was everything. It was the probably the best one you could buy from, order from Honda at the time. And I got that for like $2,500 or something. It was ridiculously cheap. And
manual 4-wheel steers are very rare spec in those.
What was that? Sorry, though.
Manual 4-wheel steer is a very rare spec in those.
Yeah. It's I don't think I've ever seen another one, to be honest. Not that I've been looking, but yeah.
Honda Australia got one because I found it. For me. Yeah, lovely one. But very hard to find. A lot of people don't realise that the Accord came with 4-wheel steer. Actually, it was a very limited new, nearly $50,000 new.
Wow,
it's a lot of money for that.
Back then as well. That'd be almost $100,000 now. Like that's expensive car.
I wonder what you could have bought for the same money back then.
Yeah.
Wasn't alive, so I'm not sure.
So how long did you have that for?
I had the Accord for quite a long, like maybe, at the time that would have been my longest investment. 5 to 6 years, I reckon.
Right.
Yeah, I reckon it was about 5 years, 2010 to about 2015.
And it served you well?
Served me very well. It was super reliable. You know, I put like maybe 50 or 60,000 Ks on it. And yeah, it was just... It just kept going. And the only reason I got rid of it is because I ended up buying a Volvo 850 Turbo.
Okay, cool.
That was why it sort of... because I had an extended stint on my P-plates for doing very naughty things. So I had my P's until I was like 24 or something.
Mexico.
It was back in Mexico, yeah. Shout out Tijuana. So I was in... Finally came to the day where I could buy a turbo car, and that's where I landed on. I landed on an 850 turbo, and that was such a hoot.
It would be a fun car.
It was great. It spun wheels all day, every day, the front wheels, and it was just nobody expected what it could do. Like you take it down to Mexico and obviously surprise some people with it, and it was such a good time.
It's surprising Mexico's not that far away when you think about it.
No, it's only like a half hour drive. Volvo. Yeah, I got rid of the. I sold the Accord to a close friend of mine, a guy called Dylan, who had an MX-5 and stuff, and he needed a daily. I thought,
great daily.
Yeah, perfect car. I think he Still ended that? Up. No, unfortunately, I think he had to get rid of it. Like, I think he had a. He told me either a drive shaft blew or something happened, and then he got into an accident, I think.
Uh-huh.
And then he said the car got written off and all that stuff. But yeah, so I did try and buy it back from him, by the way. That's how I found out the car wasn't around anymore. Yeah, I was like, damn, I missed it.
Yeah, it sounds like it served you really well, that car.
Yeah, it was super. It took me everywhere, and it was a great car.
I wonder how many they made of that. Like that'd be such a rare car.
No, not in that trim. I don't know. Yeah,
I would have thought maybe hundreds came into the country. But I haven't seen one for a long time, aside from this one from Honda.
It was definitely a special one. A friend of mine had a base model EX, automatic one and stuff, and he did a bunch of stuff to it. He put like coilovers in it, some aftermarket wheels. Yeah, it's just some really like mid 2010s Honda stuff to it. That kind of got me to like modify it. You know, found some coilovers for it out of a 4-wheel steer Prelude.
Oh, cool.
Because same like control arm widths and all that stuff.
Oh, so fit.
Yeah, that fits. It's the only thing that fits really.
Okay.
Yeah, I got some like Type R wheels for it, and
yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah, it looks good in the end. It was fun. Yeah, so Volvo, how long did I think I had that for about 4 years or so. And it was great fun. I it did blow an engine, and I had to get another like long block and swap it all out. A mechanic shop down in Clayton did that for me, and it was ever since the engine swap, though, it was just there was missing something. Like, it was either the compression of the engine, or it was like there was something there. Like, it wasn't boosting as much, and kind of fell out of love with the car. Mm-hmm. And it was like chewing through fuel. Like, I was going through like this is maybe in the days of less than $1.50 for 98.
Okay,
So I was chewing through about maybe 90 to 100 bucks of fuel a week, barely getting 300 k's out of a tank.
Okay.
So it was really, it was like burning a hole in my pocket.
Is it because of the constant trips to Mexico?
Yeah, that would have to be a part of it. But even just driving it, I mean, not that it happened that often, but even just driving it tamely.
Just ate fuel.
It just ate fuel, yeah, yeah. So the tune it had on it, I guess just it was just overfueling it.
Yeah.
And I decided to get a sensible car for maybe the first time. You know, just something that I can drive and not touch.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up buying a Skoda Octavia RS diesel.
Okay.
And that was a really good car as well. I mean, I have really fond memories of every car, really. But the Octavia really, and that one really sort of, chocked me out in a sense where it just got me to work and back. Yeah. Reliably. I didn't get stuck on the side of the road, all that stuff. And that was awesome car, had all the amenities that you could want, the fast ESG box and all that stuff, and I kept that for 3 or 4 years, and then I started noticing like a clunk in the DSG box. Like, every now and then it would like sort of lose drive like on takeoff, and I thought, oh, started researching into it, and I knew DSGs were sort of a bit cursed, but I didn't, I guess I thought, oh, it's not going to happen to me. But it started to happen. So I think it was the clutch pack's time to let go or something. And I thought, I'm going to palm this off. Because I got a quote for like a gearbox rebuild or a replacement. And it was somewhere in the ballpark of like $6,000 to $8,000 or something. And I thought, nah, stop this. Yeah. Like, I don't want to deal with it. No. And that's a big amount of money to outlay. That's half the price of the car at the time. But yeah, I did quite a lot of kilometers, and now maybe like 60 or 70,000 as well. And it took care of it what it needed. Yeah. And I think it was around that time I bought a Silvia. So back in 2020, a friend of mine he was sort of, G'ing me up to get something, sort of interesting. I was looking at 31 Skylines, R31s, and I missed out on a couple of them, and I thought, maybe it's not meant to be or whatever. And wasn't really looking at Silvias at the time. And this one came up. It was dirt cheap, but for a good reason, because it was full of rust.
Ugh.
And, it was very rough on the outside, like, dents in nearly every panel, looked like it had been sitting in someone's lawn, and the underside of it was just it was
starting to,
it was very neglected.
Yeah.
And I got it for pretty cheap at the time, and even this was when the Silvias did start going up in price. Mm-hmm. But I got it for quite a good price at the time, and just been sort of laying into it ever since, and driving it as much as possible. That was the whole thing of like, I don't want to just let it sit in the drive in the garage. And I just want to drive it. I want to do events in it. And so I've had that for, I think, 4 years now, nearly. Coming up to 4 years. Been a great car. And it was the most stock Silvia I had seen as well. Like, you couldn't really buy one that was, not modified at the time. And when it came up, I was like, this is it.
And that's got a CA or an SR?
It's got an SR, factory manual with a sunroof.
Okay.
And dark green, like jungle green sort of color. Which I think someone looked it up for me and said there was only, I don't know, like less than 400 made or something.
Oh, right, okay.
In that spec.
Yeah.
So it's quite a, I don't know, for me at least, it's desirable.
Yeah.
I like the green and the, you know, all the. I wish it was a turbo, but, you know, maybe we'll get that. We'll get to that one day. Yeah, we'll get there.
So are you going to be restoring, you know, the body and stuff on that car?
Yeah, yeah. A friend of mine had a panel shop at the time, and sort of he was starting out to be a panel beater. And, okay. Yeah, we just worked on it, you know, on the weekends or after work. And, yeah, we blocked back parts of it. And it's had, like, a partial respray. So it's had I'd say about half the panels have been resprayed, and the rest of it needs to sort of either go over it and just, you know, really detail it, or whatever I can't detail, maybe just rub, you know, block back and hit it with a bit of paint. So, rust repair. I think most of the rust repair that I've done has been around the windowsill, in the boot, like underneath, like inside the trunk where I don't even know what, like the continuation of the C pillar.
Oh yeah,
underneath. Yeah. It was very common for the sills between under the doors. Mm-hmm. That's very common for them. I think the rest of it was actually pretty good. Yeah.
How long has that car been in Australia? Has it been?
I have seen a sticker on the car, like an
import sticker.
Yeah. Are there an import sticker or like a compliance sticker or something? And I think it was 2011 when it came into the country.
It's been a while.
And I think the guy who bought it just bought it and then just let it sit. I'm not sure how much it was driven or, you know, how much it was used. But I'm glad it wasn't driven because it's only got like 128,000 Ks or something on it on an original Costa.
Which is pretty good.
Which, yeah, I was stoked with. Yeah. Yeah. So plan is to just keep doing things to it. You know, I've got a diff sitting there to go into it and, yeah, just, you know, try and enjoy it. Put it into, like, autocross, what is it called? Motocana stuff.
Yep.
I did a day in Haunted Hills in it, and that was super fun.
I saw pictures of you going sideways.
Yeah.
It looked very cool.
We are not allowed to do that at Nuggets, unfortunately. But, it was a slip. It was a bit too much.
Yeah. I saw my foot slipped.
Yeah, exactly. just drive it, enjoy it, and see where it goes. And I don't really have specific plans for it, you know, but I try, you know, I'm one of those guys that try to do things on the cheap, unfortunately. So I just, you know, do things as they come up or if it seems like a good deal.
Yeah.
You know, it's a mindset that I want to try to change a little bit, but it's a good bit of car.
Nothing wrong with that, is there, Matty?
Absolutely not. I mean, my LTD is a perfect example of that, Rob. that was good fun, so you've got that, which is. I mean, you would have made good money on that car, yeah. That's.
Insurance says it's worth X amount, and I'm very happy with it because I've probably tripled.
Money
on it, I would say. I mean, I'm not looking to move it on for that sort of money anyway, but, you know, if it's worth that, it's worth that. It's an asset.
It's money in the bank at the end of the
day. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's money in something.
In money in the garage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Make sure it's insured properly.
Have you still got the LTD? That's gone, isn't it? That has gone.
It's long gone, and the guy...
Finally gone, right?
Yeah, sold. And the guy that bought it off me tried to sell it for more than double what he paid for it.
Jeez.
And then he's eventually brought it back down to, I think it's down to pretty much what he paid for it. And I'm just like, well, try to make a quick buck off me. I couldn't make that quick buck. Seriously, that you
neither are you.
Neither are you. And he used the same photos as what I had. I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to worry.
We should have kept it. And actually gone on the Variety Bash.
I should have actually. That would have been cool. Yeah.
That'd be good.
It would have done it too. Like it, that car actually drove really well.
That's a tank, right?
It is a tank. Yeah.
Was it a V8?
That was a 6.
Yeah.
But it trans was great. Engine was great. Air conditioning was ice cold.
They would have ate it up. Like it was a great car for it.
It's Australian road trip. It's what it's made for.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it was. Like it was leaking like a sieve from every possible, you know, seal.
Just top it up,
every oil change. Yeah. So every time I was putting fuel in, I was also putting oil in and transmission fluid and power steering fluid. But yeah, I was like, well, it is what it is. Just top it up. But you know what? It was fun, and yeah, it was a good car. That car would have been a good shitbox rally car or something. That would have been a great car for that. But yeah, so you've got the S13, which is still in your current fleet.
Yeah.
And then you've got a few other little toys which are quite interesting.
Yeah. So I think earlier this year, after having just dailies that were not really cutting it, like in terms of reliability, I had a Suzuki Grand Vitara at one point, which was an absolute disaster. I can't recommend people enough. Well, not even. I mean, look, maybe it was the cursed one, but yeah, I really ate it on that one. Yeah, that was a bad one. I bought it from V6? What's that?
Was it the V6 or the 4?
It was a 4-cylinder. And only after buying it, I found out that they're like prone to massive failure. Like,
oh, really?
Huge engine failure. Like, the car kept overheating, and I couldn't figure out why it wasn't leaking coolant anywhere that I could see, at least.
Yeah.
And I brought it to a mechanic down in Glenroy here, and sent me some photos. He's like, you got a crack in the engine along the water the water jackets. And I was like, oh, that makes
sense. That'll do it.
And he's like, yeah, look, these engines, it's the same engine out of a Kizashi.
Okay.
2.4 liter, yeah. 4-cylinder. He goes, yeah, look, pretty much in and out with a replacement is going to be about $7,000. And I mean, it was a $13,000 car then.
Yeah.
So it was just, yeah, I just palmed it off to a dealer.
Yeah.
I, just tried to make back what I could on it and bought an Accord Euro, which was great.
Yeah, great.
Awesome car. Put some wheels on it, some springs on it. And yeah, I just enjoyed that for a few months. And a friend of mine asked, we were just talking and he said, I'd love one day to like as a track car and stuff. And I thought, why don't you just buy this? Like, it's being cared for.
Yeah.
All it needs right now is just a power steering pump to be done because it was
very noisy.
Yeah. It was really noisy and it was leaking.
Very common.
And I said, man, just buy this. Like, I'll just sell it to you for what I paid for it because, I don't think it's worth much more than that anyway. It was getting to about 200,000 Ks. But yeah, it was, So we just decided, he'd buy that. And I went and, I bit the bullet and bought like the most new car I could and bought an i30N, a 2022 model. And that car's been awesome. It is literally.
Cracking
car. Yeah, I see what you're
doing. Yeah. Good joke. it's everything I could ask from a daily, comfortable. My partner loves it because it's comfortable.
Yeah.
Not like all the other ones I had before that. there's always an issue. And that's the car to hopefully not get touched in the near future, or at least until the warranty is done with it. Just enjoying that, going for drives whenever I can. Me and Maddie did a drive quite a while ago Great car to just take into the hills and have in Mexico,
obviously. Totally half an hour away.
Yeah, you should see my passport. You know how many stamps are on to Mexico in and out?
You'd be getting replaced a few times a year.
Yeah. So i30N's it's a great car. Can't recommend it enough.
I can't believe that exhaust is legal in those.
Yeah,
I was following you in Mexico, chasing you down these hills, and the bangs and pops that were coming from that car. I was like, how is this? How did they allow this?
There's something wrong with that. Shouldn't be making that noise. That's outrageous.
I was like, that's hilariously good, but like, it's unbelievably crazy that car was allowed to exist.
Yeah, exactly. How did it get through emissions? I mean, I'm sure there's something going on there. We'll hear in probably 5 years. Hyundai was found guilty of emissions cheating or something. Like,
it's good.
The whole Volkswagen thing again.
Crackle and pop gate.
Crackle and pop gate. That's great.
That's it.
Yeah.
What color did you get, Chad? What color is it?
I got a white, like polar white. Okay. It's a sedan, so it's that real like out there.
Oh, okay, okay, yep.
Oh, they look fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah, it looks so cool.
I feel like people are very divided on the design, but
I love it.
I love it. Yeah, it's everything about it might not age well.
It works in the end for sure. I don't know about the lower spec cars. It wasn't until I saw an N I thought, okay, now I get it. Now it works.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Completely agree. As an M, that car looks hot. Yeah, yeah. It looks good. I kind of like how that Hyundai kind of pushed the boundaries. Like the Ioniq 5 we've talked about in the show many times is probably the only electric car I would actually go out and buy because I think it looks great.
Yeah, such an out there design. It's like
cool car.
Hyundai really just went for it and yeah, it worked.
Absolutely.
Let's not talk about the Ioniq 6.
Because it's basically an AU.
That's right.
There you go. There's two.
What's the roofline call on this? London Bridge roofline.
London Bridge. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few cars that adopted that.
Yeah, and the biplane spoiler mount. I've been saying it for years, and no one's listened to me on this show. The AU is a trendsetter. Yeah, Rob, you even said it back in the day. It won design awards for the interior, and I don't know how, but it did. And Yeah, there they go. It's still to this day making inroads in the Australian automotive landscape.
Who knew that it would, serve so well?
Did you guys know that, like, when it was like 20 years or something of the AU, people did a meetup at four? Absolutely. It started off as like a Facebook group of like four people, and then everyone joined in, and they ended up getting like a few hundred cars there. People brought AU.
I remember seeing that on Facebook with the invites and everything. It was getting massive.
It was getting huge, and people come from all over the country to Ford and Broad. It was a big thing, and then the news said like all of a sudden, why the hell are all these AU Falcons
illegal coming out of Campbellfield? Yeah,
and then it made the news, and it a lot of people couldn't come because like the weather was like horrendously bad that day, and obviously people want to protect their AUs because that's what you do. that was a thing. So I want to be there for the 30th. I reckon that'll be
oh yeah,
yeah, we'll be there for that.
Yeah, 100%. When's that? 2030.
Jeez, what? No, it'd be 2029.
Oh,
29. Yeah, 99 was the 18 because the first ones started rolling out in 98. So
oh boy, only 5 years.
5 years.
That'll go quickly.
We'll be there.
Yeah. We'll be there. Bring your calendars now.
So you've got the i30 N sedan, which is the daily, which is a cracking car.
Yeah.
It is sick. And you've obviously got the S13, which is sleeping in the garage.
Yeah, most of the time.
And you've also got some other interesting vehicles.
Yeah. I about this time last year, or maybe like September last year, Doom scrolling marketplace or Gumtree as you do, and I come across a Toyota Tarago.
The egg,
the second.
Oh, lovely!
Yes,
I love how chuffed they are. That's so good. So found an egg, and I was specifically looking for a manual one because I saw one years ago. Yeah,
get out! Wow, that's mad.
Honestly, one of the reasons I bought that car,
yeah,
specifically that one because it was mad. There's a lot of autos on the market.
Yeah, heaps, yeah.
But manuals are like, seem to be pretty rare. I saw one years ago, couldn't afford it at the time, and it's stuck in my head ever since. And I thought, if I find another one, I'm just going to bite the bullet and get it.
Why,
and a friend of mine, me and a friend, we went, I think it was in Altona somewhere, and just rocked up to the guy's house and, just started laying on this sob story and stuff. Oh, I should also mention I drove to Uluru with a bunch of friends back in like 2013.
Okay.
And it was a Tarago, second gen Tarago. It was an egg Tarago.
Wow.
And we had six people in it with all of our bags and the car did not stutter once, even in a 5,000 kilometer drive. It was unreal. Like it was honestly, I didn't really know much about Toyota back then, but I can see now why everyone says, it's a, they just keep running forever.
That was peak Toyota that era.
No, yeah, I have to say so. Yeah. So, I laid down this sob story about, I've been looking for one for years and I just wanted to sort of relive my childhood. It wasn't that long ago. It was only like 6-7 years or something. But, the guy was only asking $1,500 for it. And it's rough. The body is very rough on the Tarago. Like, it's got quite a few dings and you know, the plastic Sacco boards are all like fully faded.
How you going? How you going?
Yeah. So, yeah, I only picked it up for $1,000, which is an absolute bargain.
It's a lot of car for $1,000.
But it needed a lot of work. It needed front shocks, needed rear, full rear brakes, like drums and shoes.
Yeah.
I needed the driver's seat to be reupholstered because it was completely collapsed on one side because the constant in and out of the car. Yeah. So, Guy and Glenroy here just sorted it all out for me. I just said, please fix it. Some of it I can't do myself and some of it I just don't have time for. Yeah. And I just said, just let me know whatever it is, fix it up.
Yeah.
And, I just want the car on the road and just drive, enjoy it. And, so it's all done now. It's on Club Reg. I've been enjoying it probably for about a month now. I reckon I've driven it like 10 days already on the books.
That's awesome.
And
you and seven friends have been enjoying it probably.
Yeah, well, so far I've only ever had one other person in it, but the idea is to get a bunch of boys in it.
out of all your cars,
it's a very silly car.
The one car I actually want to drive now the most is this man.
I love that I've got all these, you know, sort of cool cars, but the Tarago is the.
I remember when I was. Under 18 to under 16. Under 16's cricket team. We played for Broadmeadow Sub District. The club doesn't exist anymore. Mum, she used to work for a place called BRB Motors, and they had a first gen Tarago, just poverty pack manual, which they use as just pick up parts and everything. And but they said, like, well, Mum put all the seats back in it, and so it was all liveried up with the workshop. And anyway. My mum took her car was getting fixed at the time, so like I'll just take. They called it the kebab van because it was like a, you know, it looked like a kebab van. So like just take the kebab van, and I was like, oh, is this thing sick? It's a manual, and you know, I was super excited. Me being an idiot with cars. Anyway, we rock up to the meetup point to go to the match, and everyone's like, you've got like 8 seats. You can fit virtually the whole team in the car. So and I mean, these are all like boys from the area that you know they're. Didn't have a lot of money, couldn't get to the match without getting a lift. Someone was like, all right, everybody in. Anyway, we were playing some team in a more well-to-do suburb. And I remember the looks of their faces of all these kids getting out of this Tarago van from the 80s. And they're just like, oh, look at these guys getting out of this van. And it was a cracking little car. It was fun. I've got a soft spot for a Tarago. So
there you go. That's our bash car.
Yes, there we go. Perfect for it.
It's good to go. It drives like brand new.
I want to drive it. I'm excited to see it.
I should have brought it tonight. Think about it. It is one of the silliest driving experiences I've ever had. I have a friend of mine, close friend of mine, Kieran, Street Static shout out. He drove it and he couldn't stop giggling. Like it was, you know, like someone was tickling him the whole time. And it's one of those cars that you can't help but smile and laugh while you drive because you shouldn't be experiencing what you're experiencing in a van. But it feels like you're just driving a regular car almost. Like it's really strange.
They're quite planted, aren't they?
Very.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, they can turn.
I mean, they shouldn't. They're no first gen Tarago, which will tip, but they're a second gen Tarago.
Yeah, exactly. They've got a wider stance.
They do, yeah.
And I think that helps with it just to be a bit more planted.
Fun fact, you know, the supercharged ones at the time was Toyota's only mid-engined supercharged rear-wheel drive car that they had on sale.
Was that because they didn't the AW11?
Yeah, they stopped making that. Yeah, that's the reason why.
Who knew that? The AW11 and the TCR10 Tarago had so much in common.
They were designed by the same people. There was after a sports van, and I'm making that up.
Have an all-wheel drive version?
They did have an all-wheel drive version, yeah.
Yeah, the US and maybe Japan. I might have just been a US spec one.
Because we had the getaway.
We got it here.
We did get them here.
We got all-wheel drives here.
We did. The GLS was all-wheel drive in the early ones.
Yeah.
I got you, Pierre. Yeah, I got it.
And there was a, I think the RVs were four-wheel drive. Well, there was a four-wheel drive version. There was an RV limited edition for a while too.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What was the getaway? Was the getaway just like a sticker pack, or was that like a?
Yeah, it was like a, you know, recreational sort of thing. I think part of the shtick with them was that they were four-wheel drive.
Okay.
Annual, I think.
Oh, but I've got a getaway too, and it's not all-wheel drive.
Okay.
So maybe. No, the getaway was just a sticker pack. That was CD. Rear air.
Yeah. It's got rear air.
Yeah. And the stickers basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got to get those stickers recreated.
Oh, dude.
They are very faded.
I know a guy.
Perfect. Lock it in. Awesome. So that's the Tarago. The idea is to just sort of, you know, take it weekend camping or whatever it might be, just sleep in the Tarago because you can.
Absolutely.
Just put a bed in it and sleep in it. Actually, I did that at Geelong Arrival. I drove it down there and put a mattress in it and slept in it. It was awesome.
Perfect.
Yeah. That's brilliant.
I mean, Wicked Campers used them pretty well, and they used a lot of the early imported ones, didn't they? Juicy Campers or Wicked?
Pop-ups in them, yeah. Pop-tops,
They still get around. Like, whenever you're driving on the highways up to Sydney or Canberra or even to Adelaide, you see them pass you, and like, oh, there goes another one. And they're still on the road with, like, a million Ks on them, and they still go.
There's a place in Tullamarine. I think it's Juicy Campers.
Juicy Campers, yeah.
Yeah, they have a billion of them. But they have esteemers. They're the import models. Yeah, so they got like the longer front garnish and stuff.
They should look good.
Yeah. I'm into them. If you can't tell, I'm into
See, Rob, you did it wrong, mate. You should have just bought a Tarago.
Yeah.
Done it all wrong. I really did. Pass off the side of the road because there'd be ones rolling down. Nah. Sorry. There'd be plenty of spare parts, I'm sure.
Oh, mate, you'll be right.
At least it won't take 6 weeks to get an oxygen sensor or an ox sensor replaced.
That was actually a joke.
Is that in your new Transit?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That is bad. Right.
Yeah. The first day I had it, the light come on.
Oh.
I could try and defend Ford, but I can't defend them at that point. Like that's just horrendously bad.
Where are they built?
Turkey.
Really?
Yeah, you're people. Yeah.
What a terrible job. Wow.
You'll have to call your uncles and say, hey, you know, like, pick your game up.
Yeah. Like, come on, stop being so slack.
Oh, no, very, very cool. And then you've got one more car, I believe, which is your Nugget Nationals car.
Yeah, so me and a couple of mates bought a EG Civic sedan back in 2011, I think. Mm-hmm. And
they've got a long time.
Yeah. So it's coming up 3 years now. So, that bought it specifically for Nuggets because it's eligible for the under 1.5 litre and front-wheel drive, you know, naturally aspirated sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And fits the price bracket and all that they require. And I've done nearly a full year's worth of track days in it now, which is six sessions. I only didn't make it out to one of them this year, but apart from that, it's been great. I've slowly started, you know, putting in a Sparco fixed back seat and some coilovers, and it already came with Hankook RS4,
which is
great tire. It was perfect. So the guy that I bought it off just had it on club reg, and he was just driving it on the weekends.
Yeah,
he was a bit of an older sort of he wasn't an older guy, but I mean, he was, you know, a guy who was into cars, but you know, just wanted something fun for the weekend.
It's
the paint's shocking, but very clean interior. Drives great. 130,000 on it, and it was a great pickup, and it was very cheap. So
is it carby or injected? That one
injected. It's a GLI, so 1.5 D15 something.
Yep.
Y4 no V7.
That sounds right. Yeah.
We'll go with that.
Who's going?
And a sedan, you said.
What was that? Sorry.
And a sedan, you said, didn't you?
Not a sedan, EG8. So it's got I mean, who's ever going to sit in the back seats of those things? It's so small. But yeah, it's a sedan. It's got that rigidity of a four door, and
yeah,
I can load it with everything I need for the track day and drive it, and then drive back in it. And yeah, it's been a great car, and I've learned a lot about you know,
driving
on the track with it. And it's been a great thing to start truck driving with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Recommend everyone get into a Nugget and have some fun.
Well, the guys I've actually that I did Nugget Nationals with a few years ago, we still got the group chat, and we keep sending each other like just 1.5 liter cars, and we'd love to do it again because it's actually really fun racing.
Oh, it's so good.
It's awesome, and you can just beat on these cars, and they take it, and you drive them home.
Yeah, that's it. The whole idea is to just keep it cheap and fun.
Yeah, yeah. As much seat time as possible.
Yeah.
100%. As much seat time.
It's a really great category. I really enjoy seeing the updates and the stuff on it. GD Jazzes are really popular too, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. They're dominating now. Yeah. Like, it used to be about Echo Sportivo.
Evos, yeah.
Yep.
And they've gotten to a point where they're a little bit more expensive now, and everyone's sort of switched over to Jazzes.
Well.
And the Jazzes they're killing it. I mean, they're very fast, but again, the Sportivos are like in the towards the top of the leaderboards. Yeah. But, you know, that could just be driver sort of skill as well at the end of the day. Jazz, you can get into a Jazz for less than $2,000, which is amazing. In a big block as well, 1.5.
Yeah. So it was such a good platform. Honda missed such an opportunity. Imagine a little roadster with that platform.
A dream.
It would have been. I mean, the MX, it would have competed really well with the MX-5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That would have been a great little thing.
Yeah, I really like that era of Jazz. I think they just work, and they're a pretty good little car. I remember when we were racing, we had a Toyota Paseo, first gen Paseo.
Awesome.
It was good, and the TiVos would just leave us. Like they were quick.
Yeah,
they were
so light.
Oh, like they weigh nothing. And I remember I think it's Ying had one at the time. I don't know if she still got it. And it was.
She's got one, but doesn't compete.
Doesn't compete. Okay.
Yeah, it's like a daily or something. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she had one. She was competing with the Nuggets, and it was half caged and stripped. And this thing was flying.
Yeah,
and
they tear.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I was like, "Phew!" Like, they look good too.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a fun time. I actually love to get back into that. It's good. It's a good category.
You got it, man. Let's start sending you cars.
Dude,
we
do that anyway. What do you think?
Yeah, specifically for Nuggets now.
Be like, sorry, no more AU Falcons. No more. No more. No more. You know, no more other cars besides 1.5 or less.
Nuggets only.
I remember I was racing this guy in a GT VI. Hyperion, yeah. My God, he was quick, and I couldn't keep up. Like, he was just leaving me on the straights, and like in the corners, I was following his line and everything. Anyway, after a session, we pull into the pits, and then he hops out of that, hops in his GT3 RS, and takes it on the track. I'm like, no wonder why I couldn't keep up with you. You're driving a GT3 RS. Yeah, I'm like, well, I mean, a good way to get seat time is in a slowish car, so you can get the corners right and everything.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I was like, well, yeah, that's one way to do it.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So last question for you, man. Now that we've got to know your interesting amount of cars. If you had to buy another car in the not too distant future, what would you go for?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, I mean, we'll just answer that. You want a all wheel drive?
That's right. Yeah, just all wheel drive swap the Targa, obviously. Look, if money was no issue, and we've always been really fond of like RS4s, like Audi RS4s, mm-hmm. but I'd buy a modern one. I think that would replace. Probably a couple of my cars because it would just do absolutely everything.
It'd do what the N does, it'd do what,
Pretty much, yeah. So, hope to have one day. I mean, I just love the look of them.
Yeah, they look cool.
I used to work for a guy who had one, and it was just such a meaty stance.
They got presents.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Look, I don't know. There's just so many on the list, to be honest, that it's really hard to choose from.
We do like a car with a flared-in guard, don't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Actually, I followed an M3 Touring tonight on the way home too, and that reminded
M3 me. M3 Touring?
Yeah, they've just come out, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No way. Oh, like the very latest.
Latest one, yeah. There's a G80 series, I think that's the...
Is it even newer than that?
I don't know.
I think that's right, yeah. But yeah, it was only a couple of months old.
Oh, that would be...
They're a very thick-looking car in the rear.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, the RS6s used to look real... Yeah. I mean, they still do, like, really fat and haunches. I mean, I'd hate to own one because I think... anything you break, it's like $1 million to fix it.
Yeah. Well, that's why I went with if money was no issue. Like,
yeah.
If I could just throw it at somebody and just let them fix it. I'd probably be not driving it nearly as much as I'd want. But it would be a.
You know, RS4. Yeah, good choice. So I went with an RS3. He had one. It got T-boned. And
oh no way.
It got written off. But he bought the new one, like the current one.
Yeah.
They are a ridiculously fast car.
Are they still a 5-cylinder?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
They are ridiculously fast. Like, they're heavy. It gets to the point where cars have become so fast because they have to make up for the weight of how much they've got.
It's kind of like, it's a stalemate though.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Weight and then just more power.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Rob, you know this with Harley C63, right? Like, that car has got immense power. But it's also almost two ton, right? Like, it's a heavy car.
It's 1.6. 1.6. 1.6. So 1.7 ton.
No,
turbo V8. It's got a lot of safety features in it, a lot of stuff, but it does pull hard.
Yeah. Like some of the Audi, some of the E-Class Mercs and stuff. They weigh over 2 ton. I'm like,
yeah.
It's ridiculous. Jeez, and I mean the same thing with like electric cars with Teslas and stuff like that. They weigh well over two ton, and they've got to put all this power to the ground because that's the only way you can get them to move.
Yeah, so then you have to put bigger wheels on it with wider tires, everything just gets bigger and heavier. Mm-hmm. That's just a non-stop loop. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm gonna start going backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the hybrids have gone even heavier.
They have.
Mm.
Now, David Prince, you have to go.
I have to go, my friends. Thank you for having me on, and good to meet you, Chad.
Yeah, you too, though.
Take care, and see you next week.
We'll see you soon, mate. Take care.
Yeah.
Anyway, gentlemen, thanks for giving us your eclectic mix of cars and filling us in. We'll have to, now that you've been on before, is this your first time on radio, actually?
Yeah, it is.
There you go.
Never done a radio show.
Talk to it very easy. It's actually quite easy once you get talking.
I think so too.
Just talk crap.
So. I mean, yeah, you just start rattling stuff off and it just flows right.
Just talk shit and keep going.
Anyway.
Very good. Well, it's time for the car quiz, dude. So, obviously, this is going to be your first car quiz, but you've listened to the show numerous times. You know how it works. 10 questions plus some bonus questions. So, you've got to buzz in with your name. Usual stuff. It's pretty simple stuff. So where is my... I don't even know where I'm set. There we go. Okay. All right. Question one. Hyundai is facing class actions overseas and big issues here in Australia.
Rob. Sunroofs.
I'll give you 0.5, Rob. I'll give you the other 0.5 for what's happening to them.
They're shattering.
They're exploding. Yeah, I'll take that. Okay. Well done, Rob. Bonus question: which model in particular is being called back?
Rob. This is the Santa Fe.
Santa Fe is absolutely correct, Rob. Well done. My brother's just bought a brand new Santa Fe, and he's like, oh, shit.
So are they affected in Australia?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
worldwide.
Yeah, worldwide. They're on. There's a few people on. I've good mates on a current affair. So Mrs. her favorite people and they were like, just driving him and bang, feel like a gunshot. I'm like, that wouldn't be fun.
It could cause definitely issues.
Yeah,
has happened to other manufacturers as well. Mercedes, some of their glass roofs. Correct. And I think a few other manufacturers as well.
Correct. Did they find out why? Is it just the way it was manufactured?
Well, the issue is they haven't found out why, first of all. And second of all, they're saying, we don't want anything to do with it, go through insurance. So that's the reason why Hyundai is in a bit of strife at the moment.
It's probably a couple of things, Scotty. The tempering, sometimes they don't temper the glass 100%, or if they haven't mounted it properly onto the chassis and there's a bit of flex, it hits a bit of metal.
Yeah,
there's a few things that could cause it.
I mean, they look so cool, but I'd hate to have that. Like, imagine all the glass shards. You'd never get it out of the car. You'd be cleaning it for years.
You'd be vacuuming it up for life.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like grains of sand. Still
be underneath the seats.
Oh, man.
Carpet forever.
I remember the back of the XR8, my mom's XR8 got.
Oh yeah.
The back glass got shattered, and I'm still finding glass. That's years ago. We're still cleaning it up.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, not great. Question two. The new Honda CR-V has just been crowned the News Corp Car of the Year for 2023. What variant of that car in particular has been crowned the Car of the Year?
Chad?
Yep.
The Platinum?
Incorrect. Good effort. It starts with R, but anyway, that's another. Not a car no one's interested in, that's why.
Well, the only one I know of, Scott, I'll buzz in.
Scott.
The CR-V RS?
RS, what I made up, that is the one. It's the...
They're making an RS.
They're making RS.
I thought it was just the HR-V.
Yeah, so the CR-V RS, which is the hybrid version.
Yeah.
Question three. Porsche, earlier this year, has had a company do an engine swap to their iconic 930 911s from the 80s. The company called Lanzantee, I can't even say the word, created the 930 with what engine? They put an engine from something else in this car.
Chad. Is it like a Subaru Boxer or something?
That'd be smart, but no, that's incorrect.
Okay.
You guys will freak out when I tell you what engine it is, but it's
probably
Rob.
Rob. They wouldn't have done something stupid like an LS.
No, not an LS. Although that's a good choice.
LS is sacred 911.
They do LS swaps in them.
They do. It's quite common. Scotty, what was that?
That'd be a bit squishy.
Yeah, it would be.
Get one of those in there.
Same with them.
I'm honestly not sure. I wouldn't have a clue.
They're putting an old Formula One engine in them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What,
a
defunct Formula One car?
Yeah, so they've actually sourced engines. And so the bonus question is how many will be made? But they've actually sourced these engines from the 1986, I believe, season of Formula One. So they're the V6 turbo engines that were used in Alain Prost's and Niki Lauda's cars.
Wow.
And they've actually sourced them and they've put them in. That's nuts, right?
Yeah.
So the bonus question is, how many are to be made?
Closest to,
I'll give closest to.
Chad. 100.
100, okay. We'll put 100 for you.
I'm going to say 30.
30 says Scotty.
So I'm going to go 70.
And 70. They're only making 11 because they didn't have many engines for that season.
Okay.
So... Scotty, you get the chocolates because you're closest too. But imagine if they made 100 of them. Oh,
and I suppose it would have made them as special then, right? Yeah.
Correct. But 11, I mean, one's for the owner of the company who was like, I want to help myself. And the other 10. Yeah, pretty much.
For some real.
I hope we get to see one at the Goodwood Festival. That'll be good. I want to hear it.
Surely.
There's one, it's online. One's been done and it looks nuts.
So, what's it called?
It's called the Lanzante Tag V6. So Tag Heuer, which has got like a Cosworth engine. Yeah. So pretty nuts. I'll have to show you guys after the show. It's pretty crazy. Question four. Finland set a world record recently with 687 Teslas simultaneously playing a light show using their light show feature. What song were they all playing this to?
Rob, I'm just going to guess because it's close to Christmas. Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bells is a good guess, but it's incorrect. So they've broken a record. I mean, I don't know who set the record anyway, but they've got the new world record of 687 Teslas playing a song simultaneously using the light show feature. What song was it?
Chad.
Chad.
Is it YMCA? I can imagine the doors like going up and down and doing the thing.
Doing the waves, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that should be a thing. But it's not, unfortunately. I would, you know, you have a point for that. That was good. I'll pay that. Scotty, up to you.
I'm just thinking something classical, maybe like Mozart.
Mozart, incorrect. It's the most meme song of all time, Darude Sandstorm. They did Darude Sandstorm. I'll find the video for you guys. It was quite funny. Question 5. What was the difference between the HSV Avalanche and the HSV Avalanche XUV?
Scott. Wasn't one of them four-wheel drive, the other one's not?
Incorrect.
Chad. Is one a six-cylinder and one an eight?
Incorrect.
Okay.
Was one naturally aspirated and the other one charged or something?
No, they were all naturally aspirated. One was the wagon was it was a wagon version which was based on the Adventurer, and the crewman was the XUV, which was the Ute based one.
Oh, okay.
Question 6. The original Mazda MX-5 in 1993 for a 1.8-litre top-spec model was $38,000 Australian. Approximately today, how much would that be? So I freaked out when I found out how much this car was back then.
We're doing closest to.
We'll do closest to.
Chad. I'm going to say $55,000.
$55,000, says Chad.
Scott.
$86,000, says Scotty. And Rob.
Oh, it's sitting around about the $65,000.
Scotty, almost on the money. $84,000 would be in today's money. That is when I found that, I was like, my God, like that's a lot of money for an MX-5. Bonus question. In the same year, Australia was still selling the RX-7, which was the FD generation. How much was it in 1993 pricing?
Chad,
I'll do closer to again.
Yeah. In Australian dollars?
In Australian dollars, yeah.
In today's money?
Back then, yeah.
65.
65, good guess.
I am going to say 80.
80? And Rob?
I have no idea, so I'll say about $58,000.
Answer is $73,000.
Wow.
So, Scotty, you get it again, mate. Well done. Getting those closest to. Question 7. The Volvo C30 from 2006 to 2013 was said to have had its hatch, you know, the hatch design in the back, was made to look like what other Volvos from history?
Chad. P1800,
yes. I will give you 1 point for that, Chad. Also, there was another one. There was two Volvo something else. Ooh.
I think that might actually be the P1800.
Yeah, it was the P1800, yes, but I'll pay P1800. Oh, yeah. But it was the Volvo something else. It was a bit newer than the P1800.
Oh, I know, Chad.
Chad?
480.
480, yeah.
The Frog.
The Frog, yeah. I kind of like those.
Such a weird-looking car. Yeah, it's great.
Question 8. 2023 marks the 25th anniversary of which iconic Audi sports car?
Chad. The Quattro Sport?
Incorrect. Has got Quattro systems, though. Mm. Or could have been had with a Quattro system.
What year was that again, sorry?
2023 marks 25 years of Audi sports car. I think 25 years is like the 80s, but it's like the 90s, late 90s now. It's weird.
Yeah.
Scott.
The S4.
S4 is incorrect.
Yeah. I was thinking the S line. Was there an S3?
There was an S3, but that's incorrect. It was the Audi TT.
Oh, okay.
The bubble is now 25 years old. Score check, gentlemen. So currently, Rob on 2, Chad 2.5, and Scotty's currently leading on 4. Question 9. The Hyundai Tiburon got its name from the Spanish word what?
Chad. Is it like a cyclone or something?
Incorrect. I remember the ads that they had these in the ads. It was. I was like, it was very weird. I don't know what doing weird things. I was smoking weird stuff back then.
I couldn't even have a guess.
Yes, Scotty, you got a guess, right?
I'm just going to guess there. Was it a bullfighter?
No, incorrect. That's a good guess. That's a good guess. Scotty?
No, I got nothing.
It was a shark. They named it after a shark. Tiburon.
Yeah.
Okay.
In Espanol. This last question is from Steph, who actually asked this question. She's like, pink cars are very rare in Australia. How many do you guys reckon are on sale on car sales right now as we speak? I don't really sell many pink cars. So
are we going all makes and models?
All makes and models. Pink. Pink, yeah, correct.
Closest to
Scott.
10.
10. Chad, you were next?
I'm going to say 50 because 50. There's one brand that makes a lot of them.
Which one?
The Yaris.
The Yaris, yeah. There was heaps of Yaris as well. I was looking at the cell. Spot after the yellow. And Rob?
30.
30. Chad, you get the chocolates, mate? It was 63.
Oh, that's awful.
That's terrible. So, score check, gentlemen. Rob on 2, Chad on 3.5, and tonight's winner is Scotty on 4. Well done, mate.
Well done.
Thank you.
And Scotty, I know I ask you this every time you win. Is there anyone you want to thank?
Yes, there is. Someone very important.
Yep.
Means a lot to me, and that's myself.
Yeah, thank you. That's good. That's good. Well done. I'll appreciate that. I think that's a podcast, gents.
Very good.
Chad, thanks for coming on the show tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Really nice to meet you guys. Spend a bit of time talking cars. It's always fun.
We'll have to get you back on at some point. You're more than welcome to come on any time.
Awesome.
We'll start with Scotty's golf tip of the week. Chad, have you been doing much golfing?
I have had maybe 3 or 4 games in my whole life.
Okay. Have you been taking Scotty's tips?
I have been listening.
Yeah. gripping the shaft?
Yes, I've been gripping the shaft. I've been cleaning my...
Cleaning the balls. Yeah.
What else off the top of my head? But yeah, I think they're also good tips for just life in general.
Well, see, Scotty, we've got listeners that actually pay attention to golf tip of the week. So there was a guy that put the meme of Lee Carvello's putting challenge. Have you seen the episode of Simpsons? And they put, instead of saying, "Oh, that's in the car park, you got to grip your shaft." Yeah. And they put it on the basement screen. That was great. I was like, Scotty does it again. Right. So Scotty, golf tip of the week.
Talking about cleaning golf balls, another important thing to clean is your clubs, especially your irons in those grooves.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a massive difference. There's been a few YouTube clips on that where they've hit the ball when it's dirty and clogged up and when they've cleaned it. Massive difference with spin and everything. So make sure you just get just your normal golf tee, just the tip, and just clean it out. Get those grooves back. Big difference. Yep.
Big difference. You heard it here first. Thanks for
clean your tip. What you're saying.
Clean your tip.
Yeah.
A life lesson as well.
It's another life lesson. Rob's fabrication, firefighting, burglary alarm systems, electricals, What else, Rob, did you do?
Gardening, van builds, van life.
Van life.
You name it.
Transit engine lights. now Ranger Rocks. Man with a van. Easy guy. See our boy Rob there. Chad, have you got anyone you want to plug? Or anything you want to plug?
No, not really.
Just myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess just thanks for doing the show. I mean, it's always fun to listen and, spend a bit of time on the road. So, I definitely enjoy the podcast. And
hear us talk shit.
Yeah, it's great. It definitely passes the time. And I actually compete, I compete with myself in the quiz as well. I just, try not to keep score so I don't get, mad or angry.
That's all right.
Yeah.
We're going to do a... Like you ever seen the show? Have you been paying attention?
Yeah, yeah.
We're gonna do like one of like all the questions that we've done and see who's actually been paying attention.
Oh yeah, it's like the new the testing standard for the people who are into cars or something.
For the for our automotive listeners.
Yeah,
I've had people say to me like I've answered questions. I've been yelling at the speaker and everyone's thinking, what's wrong with you? But yeah, that's good feedback to our humans that listen to the show. Like it to our Facebook page, it's Car Talk. It's TORQ with Manny J. If you missed any previous episodes, they're all up on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasting apps. I know you get subscribe, rate, and review to us there. Check out our merch. Go to Teespring store, go to teespring.com and type in Car Talk store. Support the show by buying some merch or support the show by becoming a patron to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Car Talk podcast. Gentlemen, honor as always, and I'll see you next time. Take it easy.
Bye.
See ya.